Inspired by hip-hop and the faith culture, the sanctuary in my solitude, the thoughts, feelings, and life lessons of an imperfect Christian by Anthony Giesick is beautifulfeetentertainment.com's work in print. It is a book of poetry, and it's available through iuniverse.com, amazon.com, beautifulfeetentertainment.com, and the links are also available in our social media and podcast. So please consider The Sanctuary of My Solitude if you're looking for a next great read. Thank you so much.
This is the Beautiful Feet Podcast, a partnership with BeautifulFeetEntertainment.com. Follow us on social media at Beautiful Feet Entertainment and enjoy the show. Welcome to the Beautiful Feet Podcast. My name's Anthony.
And I'm Jessica.
And what was it, last week we went ahead and we just talked about kind of, I'm blanking it. Help me out.
Okay. So we were acknowledging that, A, yes, the Bible is a difficult book to read if you've never read it before. And we talked about the fact that it has multiple authors over a very dedicated time period in history. And there's multiple different translations, and that our advice is to kind of explore them and see which translation you feel works best for you.
Yeah, so we really kind of, and I don't know how I brain farted that one, but we really broke it down into, like, here's how to read the Bible. And some we kind of gave some tips, right? Because Bible reading is, it needs to be personalized. So, in that same vein, our thought was, well, okay, a lot of people ask when they get to that point of, like, they want to start reading the Bible, they're not as familiar with it, they're not sure what to do. So, their question is, where do we start? And I feel like this is still a personal question, right? Because you still have to kind of go in and ask them, like, hey, what do you know? What do you not know? What are you curious about? And you can find books in the Bible that work with those curiosities. But let's say you're just like, I just want to start reading. But where is a easy place to start? So what we're going to do is we're going to go ahead and kind of, we're going to kind of share where we started. And then we're going to kind of go, okay, but here's some other places that you could start. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely.
Would you like to go first? Because you were raised in the church. So, like, this is a whole different thing.
See, I don't feel like that exclusively qualifies me to go first. But no. If you would like me to, I can.
Well, the reason I want you to go first is, like, so when you started to read the Bible on your own, where did you start? Or how being in that culture was, let's see what the difference is.
So, I feel like reading the Bible, reading the Bible by myself, it wasn't like, oh, I'm just going to start at the very beginning and read straight through. So, like, when I was 3, I had the beginner's Bible, and that is truly a beginner's Bible. There's, essentially, here's, like, the main stories of the Bible. There's, it's very illustration heavy with limited text. Because, again, it's supposed to be an introductory material. So that was honestly my first introduction to Bible reading was, okay, like, here's the story of Adam and Eve. Here's the story of Noah. Here's the story of Daniel. Like, just these classic Bible characters, or biblical characters, I guess I should say. And then, because I also went to a Christian elementary school from preschool up until 4th grade, and then a Christian high school from 10th grade until 12th grade, in my elementary school, we would have different, like, it's not like, okay, we're gonna memorize this entire book, but it would be like, okay, we might take, like, this key verse, or this might be like, oh, write this out for your homework kind of a thing.
Yeah.
Again, it's not like anyone ever sat me down with a Bible and said, here you go, read the whole thing.
Yeah.
You know. And I feel like teaching children Bible stories as opposed to, like, here, memorize this scripture, mm-hmm. is more effective just because they just love stories.
Well, can we be honest? I think teaching people, adults, youth, kids, it doesn't really matter, teaching them Bible stories instead of just being like, you have to read every day, it's going to be better anyway, right?
Oh, definitely.
To sit down with them and go, let's read just a story and go from there and just talk about it, right? And put it into the correct context, but really get into the story of it and the moral of that story. That's where you're going to learn your lessons. That's where God's going to teach, because that's really where the Bible was written. It started as an oral tradition, right? It started as like, hey, we share these stories sitting together, talking about history, you know, and different things. And so that's what I would recommend, right? I would actually sit down. If you're new to reading the Bible, I wouldn't sit down and be like, I have to read a chapter a day. I have to just find a story. But if you are one of those people who's like, hey, I'm moving along in my faith, I want to start studying the Bible, that question always comes up, right? Of like, where do I start? Where's a good place to start?
Well, and Anthony and I have already done an entire in-depth study about the book of John, which is found in our archives on our website, beautifulfeetentertainment.com.
Yeah, and you can go through, we're up to like 115, 116 episodes now. And we do Bible studies in all of them. So just look at the description. I usually talk about what we're studying and find one that fits. But the book of John is always, I feel like every person I've ever talked to, because again, I didn't grow up in the church. So I was that college kid who was trying to figure things out. And everybody was like, hey, start with John. Mm-hmm. Start with the Gospels, start with John. And the reason is, John writes about Jesus, and Jessica's going to kind of flip to her spot in John and give us some background. But the way John talks about Jesus, it's not only him as a human being, but it's the spiritual connection between God the Father and Jesus and how they are one, even though they are separate. So he really goes into that. And John was a disciple of Jesus.
Yes.
So he was one of the 12 that was with him during Jesus' ministry, because not everyone who wrote one of the four Gospels was directly there. So, background.
So, in my Bible, and honestly in a lot of Bibles, before you start to read an individual book, they might have a page that's devoted to, okay, this is like a little preview. This is the content that you are possibly going to encounter, not possibly, that you are going to encounter when reading this book. So again, if you've listened to our podcast for a while, you all know that I love the NIV Adventure Bible, the Polar Exploration Edition. It's the number one Bible for kids, but it's also the number one Bible for me. So there you go.
What is that endorsement?
I know, right? So we know that John wrote this book, a disciple of Jesus. Says this book was written, says the Gospel of John shows that Jesus is the Son of God and helps people believe in him.
Mm-hmm.
Says John was written for everyone who wants to understand who Jesus really is. John reports miracles and teachings that show that Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is the most important person in this book. Jesus taught and performed miracles from AD 26 to 30. Most of the events in this book happened in
Judea. Because I think you always say Judea.
Judea, yes I do.
Judea is the way I've always been told to pronounce it.
So my mom's, like, one of her favorite verses is the beginning of the book of John, so I'll go ahead and read that. I'll read John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it.
So what that's really talking about, and I love that verse because it's, you know, it's in the beginning, the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That word, how would you describe it? Like,
my Bible has a "Did you know" section. So, did you know what is the Word?
It's like they knew.
The Word is a special name for Jesus. It means that Jesus is the person who reveals God or tells us what God is like. The Bible says that Jesus has always existed and that Jesus is God. Again, that's just a part of the Trinity.
Yeah.
Having the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit.
And I will say this, because again, not coming from a church background, and then really asking everyone, like, hey, where do I start? What do I read? And they all pointed me to John. And everyone was like, hey, read the Gospels. Like, read, you know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, but start with John. And I did. And honestly, I loved it, you know, and I think I went through, I don't know the order that I went through, but I read through all four Gospels first, which we're going to kind of talk about, not in depth for all four of them, but we're going to give a brief overview, right? So You have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Like we said, John was part of Jesus' 12 disciples. Not only was he part of the 12 disciples, he was part of the inner circle, which is like, it was Jesus with three dudes of those 12 where he's like, I'm going to share everything with you guys. I'm sorry, I thought you were going to jump in.
No, I was like, was it Jesus and three people or Jesus plus two to make three?
I thought it was three, but we'll get back to you on that. So we know we have our background on John, right? Let's get into the background of, let's just go in order, right? Matthew, Mark, and Luke. So Matthew, right?
Alrighty. Do you want to take that from here, or do you want me to?
So while you're flipping there, this is the little bit that I know of Matthew. And we looked up a little bit kind of before the podcast.
Okay, I got it.
Yeah, there she is. I was trying to get there, too. Go ahead.
Matthew, one of Jesus' 12 disciples, wrote this book.
Yes.
Matthew shows the Jews that Jesus is the Messiah promised in the Old Testament. Matthew was written for the Jewish people. This book talks about Jesus' birth, his life as an adult, his teaching, death, and resurrection. Jesus is the most important person in this book. Mm-hmm. These events took place between 6 BC and 30 AD. Most of the events took place in the towns in Galilee.
Okay. So what's so special about this book? One, it's another first-hand account. So Matthew was actually with Jesus and saw what Jesus was doing. I don't know if he was in the inner circle, because we still need to figure that out. He also went by the name Levi.
Mm-hmm.
So in the Bible, if you hear the name Levi, it's most likely him. I think that was a name Jesus actually gave him, if I understand. I might be flipping that around. But what's also so spectacular about this, he was a Jewish man who was writing for a Jewish community. Why is that important? Because the Jewish community believed that there was a Messiah coming, they did not believe Jesus was that Messiah. So he's using their understanding, their knowledge that he would have gained over the years, and saying, look, I can prove it by connecting Jesus's actual life with the Torah, which is the Old Testament, and their Bible of the time. So he would have made those direct connections because he grew up in that community, right? So that's what's so special about it, is he's like, I'm in this community and I'm a believer because of what you raised me on and what I've experienced and the evidence that's there.
Well, and again, the note in my Bible from talking about the genealogy of Jesus the Messiah, which is recorded in Matthew chapter 1, verses 1 through 17, it says, why is this genealogy in Matthew? It says, a genealogy is a record of a person's ancestry. Matthew wanted us to know that Jesus was a true human being as well as the Son of God. Mm-hmm. Matthew also wanted the Jews to know that Jesus was a descendant of Abraham, who was the father of the Jewish nation, and of David, as only a descendant of David could be called the King of the Jews.
So we have Matthew and John. They were both side by side with Jesus in the 3 years or so that he was doing ministry. So they could give you, they can give you direct like quotes. They can give you eyewitness accounts. And they do. They share a lot of the same story. Actually, all four of these scriptures share a lot of the same stories. But there'll be details in each section. So like Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John will all write some of the same stories, but their details might be different. And we are going to talk about that, but that's basically because eyewitness testimony is not perfect. And details fluctuate over time because our memories really kind of, they don't change, but they change based on our experience. So.
Well, and correct me if I'm wrong, but it's not like the disciples were writing this down in real time.
No.
I feel like most of them, when the books were actually being written, it was numerous years after the events that are recorded had taken place.
Yeah, it's usually, I mean, it's usually within, if I remember correctly, 15, 20 years. Mm-hmm. So it's almost like you experience something, and again, most of these men were fairly young. So it's almost like experiencing something in your teenage years or early 20s and then writing about it when you're in your 40s. You still remember it, but you're looking at it from a rear view of like where you're like, okay, I didn't pick up on these nuances at the time. Now I can talk about them, especially in the book of John, because that was written years after the events. I don't know how many off the top of my head. We can do that math later, but
so, I mean, just to put it in context for us, because we're in 2022 right now, if you take 15 off from that, it's like, what, 2007?
Yeah. I mean, heck, you could even just say, hey, write, sit down, in 2022, what were you doing in the year 2020? Not year 2020, year 2000. Mm-hmm. That's 22 years, right? Like, that's still within your lifespan, hopefully, for us old people. But what were you doing in the year 2000? Now, if I wrote about it in 2000, right? If I sat down in the year 2000 and wrote down, here's what happened to me today. First of all, it would sound very angsty because I was in, like, junior high, right? So now I could look back on those events and go, yeah, this happened, and this friend, you know, did this, and this person, you know, hurt me in this way. We can talk about the good, the bad, and the ugly, but we're going to look at it from a different point of view than what we did when we were in junior high.
So we've talked about the fact that John is definitely highly recommended for people who've never read the Bible for the first time. And then three other sort of candidates that I had come up with were the book of Genesis, and then Psalms and Proverbs.
So John, I think the reason, at least from my perspective, my point of view, the reason why it's a great way to connect our curiosity with the Word of God and to read it for the first time, is because it really does connect like physical with spiritual. I think a lot of people when they start becoming curious about Christianity and they start becoming curious about is Jesus, you know, God, is Jesus these things that people claim he is, they don't want just here was his life. They're looking for something deep and something spiritual. And I'm not saying you won't find that in the other Gospels, but when he immediately starts off with, you know, the Word was with God and the Word was God and everything was created through him, through Jesus, it automatically kind of puts it into this perspective of like, he's not just human. There's something more to him. So you already go in with, okay, and then he's going to start to prove that through the writing, through the gospel. Now, as far as Genesis, that's a good place to start because it's literally the starting point of the Bible. Like, when you open up the front cover, that's the first thing you're going to see.
Well, and I personally tend to just get so wrapped up in the book of Genesis because it truly plays out like Days of Our Lives, like a daytime family drama for me, just looking at like... just the different characters who are literally like, oh, this is my brother-in-law. Oh, this is my sister over here. Oh, that's my dad. Oh, that's my uncle. Like, family.
And here's one of the things that's perfect about Genesis is the idea that, like you said, it plays like a what'd you say?
Like Days of Our Lives. Daytime soap opera. That's like
it does,
what I picture in my
but
head.
But it also plays out like a history book in the regard of like first this happened, then this happened. It's in chronological order.
It's very sequential.
Yeah. So it's perfect in that way where you're not going, wait, what happened first? What happened second? Now, if you start mixing in Numbers and Leviticus and
so
like other books of history...
those are two books that we would not recommend starting with.
I wouldn't. It's hard to read them in general, but don't start with them. Now, if you're looking for something, like let's say you had a rotten day, and you're just like, hey, I just need to be uplifted a little bit, go to Proverbs. Proverbs, read,
There's 31 Proverbs.
31 Proverbs.
And like, that's perfect if you're like, I want to commit to doing this for 1 month, you can, boom, just read a proverb every day.
What I would actually recommend, pick a gospel, preferably John, read that at one point in time in the day, and maybe end your day in Proverbs, right? Or flip it. Start your day in Proverbs and end your day in the Gospels. You know, that way you're getting a little bit of both. You're getting a, and you can do this with the Psalms as well. The difference between the Psalms, so you have Proverbs. Basically, Proverbs are words of wisdom, right? So it's I think a lot of it was written by Solomon, is my understanding, right?
Yes.
So a lot of it was written by Solomon, if not all of them, and it's just him sitting down later in his life, writing down like, hey, these are wise things to do. So you could read that and you could get the context and go, okay, you know, be faithful, trust in the Lord. You know, you could take steps and be like, here's what I'm doing today to trust God. Here's what I'm doing today to pray for people who've hurt me or whatever. With Psalms, the difficulty is there's some psalms that like they're hard to read because they're angsty, right? They're angry, mm-hmm. They're frustration. But if you're frustrated and you read those, you're like, this person knows what I'm going through.
Did you want to talk about what your favorite book is, or do you want to save that for another day?
We will get to that.
Okay.
By the end of this episode. But so those are some good places to start. I would highly recommend with anything you read, go online, find YouTube videos of people like of scholars maybe explaining what you're reading if you're having trouble understanding the deeper parts of it. Or find books and commentaries where it's like, hey, you just read this. Here's some context of what you're reading. Because I know at first it could be very daunting. It could be very challenging. Did we want to go over Mark and Luke super quick?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I have Mark open here.
Perfect.
It says, a young man named John Mark wrote down stories Peter told about Jesus. Mark shows people who Jesus is by telling what Jesus did. Mark wrote this book for the Gentiles, the people who were not Jews. Jesus shows his power by performing miracles that help people, and he teaches his disciples. Jesus is the most important person in this book. Jesus worked miracles and taught from AD 26 to 30. Most events in Mark chapter 1 through 9 happened in Galilee, and most of the events in Mark chapter 10 through 16 took place in or near Jerusalem.
So Mark, both Mark and Luke are second-hand accounts,
mm-hmm.
right? That means they were not part of the 12 disciples. They did not see these miracles take place, but especially in Luke's account, he mentions, like, at the very beginning of his book, he did extensive research to find the information. He spoke with people who were there. He went to the places that these miracles happened. Mark would have done the same thing. Both of them worked side by side with Paul. So I will let you read about Luke, and then we'll kind of continue.
Well, I'll go ahead. I'll read Luke chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, and then I'll go and read
Absolutely.
The little notes about Luke. Just so we have the introductory portion. Many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled among us, just as they were handed down to us by those who from the first were eyewitnesses and servants of the word. With this in mind, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, I too decided to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the certainty of the things that you have been taught. And I have to say, Luke is probably my favorite gospel. Just because, again, I feel like he was doing the detective work, you know? Yeah.
So, and the great thing about Luke, he was a doctor. Like, so he was intelligent. He understood his field of study. And he was like, I'm going to go ahead and expand my understanding, right? He wasn't just somebody who, like, so nowadays we have, like, YouTube videos and people online who do the bare minimum research. And they act like they're experts. He's doing deep dive research, and he's not acting like an expert. He basically goes in, he's like, I've studied this from other people.
So this is what my Bible says about Luke. Luke, a physician who often traveled with Paul, wrote this book. Luke tells what many people who knew Jesus remembered of his life and teaching. Luke wrote for people who wanted to know the kind of person Jesus was. Jesus meets, teaches, and helps many different kinds of people. Jesus is the most important person in this book. The events in this book took place between 6 BC and 30 AD. Most of the events in this book happened in Galilee and...
Pause for dramatic effect.
You gotta say the word.
Judea. Sorry, I was looking something up. So, And this is what we were talking about, right? You have Matthew and John side by side with Jesus. So when they are writing exactly what they saw, what they experienced, and what they remember, right? Yeah, they're doing it after the fact. They're doing it years later. That doesn't mean these things didn't happen. If I saw a man take five loaves of bread and two fish and feed over 10,000 people, I don't care at any point in my life, I'm going to remember that, right? And some of the miracles that they saw Jesus do, you would remember it at any point in time in your life, right? Mark and Luke are different because they're doing the research, they're having conversations with people who were there, and they're visiting the places where these things happened. And they're writing for their prospective audiences. Now, if you ever have any curiosity of like, well, I've read through the Gospels, I've heard the stories, but I'm noticing a lot of different accounts, right? Like, so what I mean is like the details are different. They're telling the same story, but the details are different. One of the podcasts that helps me understand this is a podcast by a former like police detective who is now an apologist. Basically, he goes around explaining to people the proof of the Bible, right? He has a podcast called Cold Case Christianity. And he explains this, where he goes, yes, there are areas in the Bible, especially in the Gospels, where they're telling the same story, but there might be minor differences in detail, right? And he goes, as a detective, he's talking about it, saying, look, if I'm interviewing multiple eyewitnesses and they all have the exact same story with the exact same figures and numbers, and he's like, the story is fake. They all got together and he's doing this from experience. He was a police detective for like 20 some years, and his, you know, anyway. And I think his dad was too, and like it kind of runs in the family. So he's like, if their stories line up too well, it doesn't work. And that's one of the things that he uses to like to prove the Bible, right? He was one of those dudes, his name's J. Warner Wallace, one of those dudes that like he became a Christian because he was trying to disprove Christians, kind of like Paul.
That's a fairly common thread among people who are just very adamant once they come to Christ, is like, hey, I really initially started studying to try and disprove it.
Yes. So. And he started studying because he was like, there's no way this makes sense. And now he's been a Christian and I'm talking about an apologetic Christian for 20 years or whatever it's been. Now, you had asked me about my favorite book of the Bible.
Yes, I didn't know if we were going to talk about that a little bit tonight or not.
We are. So, please keep in mind, one of my favorite books of the Bible is not one to start on. It's difficult to read. It's difficult to understand. You might leave more confused than when you came in, right? It's the book of Job. It's spelled like Job. It's pronounced Job. Let me just explain by going to my Bible. She's going to go to hers. I'm going to go to mine. The purpose of this book in the Bible is to demonstrate God's sovereignty and the meaning of true faith, and to address the question, why do the righteous people suffer? So it's a whole book about suffering. It's a whole book about a man who was extremely rich, who had a large family, and he was a believer in God. He was a follower of God, and he lost everything. And in this time, people are telling him, like, dude, God is taking everything away from you. Why do you still believe in God? And he was just like, I'm not going to lose my faith. I'm going to stand firm. And I'm talking about he lost everything. He lost all of his resources. He lost his family. I think his house crumbled at one point. He got terminally ill. Like, just, he got hit with everything. And I'm not going to tell you the end of the story, because you, at one point in time, you should definitely go in and read it. But you're over here looking it up. What does your Bible have to say about the book of Job?
So it says the writer of Job is unknown. Job was written to help people learn that suffering is not always a punishment from God. Terrible things happen to Job. Job and his three friends discuss why God has let these things happen. God tells Job and his friends to just trust him, and God then heals Job and makes him wealthy again. So there we go. We spoiled the ending for you.
Yep.
And so what do we learn about God in this book? It says God does let bad things happen to good people. When bad things happen, it does not mean that God is punishing them for some sin. Job is the most important person in this book. We do not know when this happened. It may have happened as early as the time of Abraham, about 2100 BC. The story of Job took place in a land called Uz, probably located east of Canaan, or Canaan.
One of the things that my Bible says about the book of Job, Job is the first of the poetic books in the Hebrew Bible. So it's predominantly all poetry. Some believe it was the first book of the Bible to be written. It also gives us insight into the work of Satan. And we've talked about Satan when we talked about the book of Revelation. Basically, he's the opposition to God. Ezekiel chapter 14, verse 14. And James 5, chapter 5, verse 1, mentioned Job as a historical figure. So he's talked about later on in the Bible as well. But I like that idea that this may be the very first book of the Bible written. Not the first thing to happen in history, but the first thing to be written. That's interesting to me because, again, it's about suffering. And it's God reminding us that, yes, you're going to suffer. Yes, I'm going to allow things to happen. It's not because I don't love you. It's not because I'm trying to punish you. There's a purpose behind it. We need to be close to God to know what that purpose is. And that's what Job demonstrates. Because he does not waver in his faithfulness to God. Even when everyone around him is like, dude, God is punishing you for something, you need to leave. And he just won't do it.
Did you want to go ahead and give us the Wrestling with Faith update for this week?
Yeah, so
we can look forward to on Wednesday.
Yeah, so we're going to go ahead, we're going to record a podcast later on this week. Basically, we're going to look at the culture, historical culture of the wrestling community. What I mean is, when professional wrestlers go into this realm, into this world, right, the behind the scenes type stuff that could possibly be a toxic environment, and we're just going to talk about that. I know we said we're going to do that last week. Life got busy, didn't quite get done, but so we're going to talk about that, and then we're just going to kind of really try to relate that into, like, how it, the backstage has changed. Because the backstage in wrestling now is totally different than what it used to be. Is that good or bad change? That's what we're going to talk about.
So if you've liked our podcast, you can find more of our podcast at Beautiful Feet Beautiful Feet Entertainment on Instagram and Twitter. You can find us on Anchor, and then also be on the lookout for the Wrestling with Faith podcast at Wrestling with Faith on Instagram and Twitter. You can also visit our website at beautifulfeetentertainment.com.
Yes. So please like, subscribe, send this episode out to anyone who may need it or want to hear it. Like I said, we're at like 100 and almost 120 episodes, which is super cool. And you've been here for 100 and almost 100 of them at least. So, because I think I had done 10 episodes or whatever, and then we just moved on. But yeah, so I will go ahead and pray, and then we will go ahead and conclude the podcast. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your Holy Spirit that allows us to understand the word, that guides us into an area of understanding and wisdom. I pray that over all of our listeners, as they are reading the Bible, getting into the Bible, finding out where to start reading the Bible, we ask God that you would just be with us and bless us in that endeavor as you open our hearts and our minds to what you're trying to show us. We pray, God, that you would be with us this week. Give us strength. Give us encouragement. Bring healing in the areas that we need healing, Father God, whether that's mentally, emotionally, spiritually. Help us to rebuild friendships and connections with family members if that's necessary. Just be with us in that process. And just bless us so that we can give those blessings to other people. We pray all this in your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you guys so much for listening. And like we said, we'll be back next week with a brand new episode. But this is the end of the Beautiful Feet podcast. Have a great week. Thank you for listening to the Beautiful Feet podcast, a partnership of BeautifulFeetEntertainment.com. Please feel free to follow us on social media at Beautiful Feet Entertainment. Please visit BeautifulFeetEntertainment.com and do not forget to like, share, and subscribe.